Be'etzes Hashem, we are now beginning our Parsha class, Parshas Emor. Today is the eighth day of the month of Iyar, Tav Shinayin Tes, corresponding with the English calendar of May 13th, 2019. Parshas Emor is probably famous for it being the parsha that's read probably more often than any other parsha, because it deals with the Yomim Tovim. The Yomim Tovim throughout the year have parts of the parsha of the Torah read on Yom Tov, which is taken from Parshas Emor. And therefore, Emor is a very, very well-known parsha when it comes to reading the Torah on Yom Tovim. The beginning of the parsha deals with Kohanim, talks about the sanctity of the Kohen, talks about the requirements of working in the Beis Hamikdash, and it has to do with the Kedusha and the sanctity of a Kohen. The end of the parsha has an incident which we probably will get to, which is the incident of the Mekalel. The Mekalel is the one who cursed Hashem, and he was ultimately stoned for having cursed Hashem in public. I'm going to be focusing tonight on several points, but we begin with the beginning of the parsha, and I would like to develop these points by going through the parsha as we see a certain concept develop and appear in front of our eyes. The Torah begins with the following statement. It says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe." Hashem said to Moshe, "Emor el haKohanim bnei Aharon. Say to the Kohanim, the sons of Aharon, v'amarta aleihem, and you shall say to them, l'nefesh lo yitamor ba'amov. To a nefesh, you shall not become tummy. You shall not defile yourself to a nefesh. That means a person who died, right, is tummy." We are familiar with that basic law. And the Kohanim are specially chosen to work in the Beis HaMikdash, and they have to be more concerned, more careful than the average person, since they work in the Beis HaMikdash. They are our ambassadors to Hashem, so to say. They shecht their korbanos every day. This is our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis, and they must be pure and clean to do the avodah. Therefore, they have to be extra careful not to become tummy. They have to be extra careful.
What's tummy about a dead body?
Well, that it's a spiritual uncleanliness. And this uncleanliness that comes on the dead person, right, makes anything that it touches or is in the same room also tame, and it defiles it. And in reference to the Kohen, he being that he has to do the work in the Beis HaMikdash with purity, he is not allowed to defile himself. Now, the whole concept of Kedusha and Tumah is something irrelevant to the non-Jew. The concept of Kedusha and Tahara is only something that's relevant to a Jew. Because since Hashem gave us a Torah, and we know whenever we make a bracha, v'tzivanu v'kidishanu, right? Let's say you make a bracha on the Tia Shedayim. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvisa, v'tzivanu this and that to wash your hands in every mitzvah. There is a level of kedusha in every mitzvah. Goyim don't have 613 mitzvahs. There is no kedusha in their world that they live in. You understand? And therefore, the concept of kedusha is non-existent to them. But to us, we live with kedusha, with tahara, and a kohen has to observe those laws. Even today, we don't have a base in Mikdash, Kohanim have to still be careful not to purposely defile themselves to become tame by being in a cemetery or even walking near the cemetery where they will be forced to walk on the overhang of the trees that are really overhung over the graves, because the tumah travels underneath. Therefore, even kohanim have to be careful. Not only that, kohanim, unless they have to be in a hospital because of an illness, should not choose to just take a walk through the halls of a hospital just for the sake of spending time in the corridors of a hospital, because in most of the cases, a hospital has people who are in the morgue, who are dead, and therefore the hospital is a mokum tumah.
Can they visit a sick person?
That's a very good question. I am not sure if that can be done easily. I'm not going to answer the question now. That's a very good question. It depends on the relationship. It depends on certain factors.
Circumstantial.
But the bottom line is, a kohen should not. I have an incident literally with me and my class. We made a performance in the Baycrest Center. It goes back maybe 13, 15 years ago, I don't remember, but something like that. Mm. Prepared them for a Pesach presentation. Worked very hard at it.
Yeah.
And I got everything ready. And the night before, I get a call. Do you know that my son is a kohen?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Wasn't sure. No. Well, I wasn't thinking about that.
Right, yeah.
Could you please inquire if there is anybody who might not be alive in the Baycrest Center?
Could
do you know? Do you know my son is not allowed to be there? And happened to be not only one, but two.
Mm-hmm.
And he's part of my program. Well, I called up the rabbi, and the rabbi said, do you know something? There is nobody at the present dead. However, if there is, I'll let you know first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning, guess what? At 9 o'clock, I get a call. Someone passed away in the Baycrest Center. And now I didn't know what to do. I informed both children that they were not permitted to come along, and I praised them to the moon that they, because they are kohanim, based on what we're learning today, the Torah wants them to know that they are so special that even that the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is not built, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash now, they still have to observe certain laws of sanctity, and they did not come along with a chip.
So
right before we left the building.
This is a kohen from birth. They have this
special. That's right.
It's not bar mitzvah age, let's say, enough. This
no,
is
no,
from
no,
birth.
No, from birth. From birth. They were not.
They could be
that
4 years
too,
old and they're a kohen and they shouldn't.
Seven and a half, eight.
You don't have to be bar mitzvah. Yeah.
No. There's a kohen. No. There's no question about that. It makes no difference by mitzvah and upper mitzvah. I'm just telling you the story. So what we're learning now is very relevant, even though that it doesn't apply to bring a korban and all that. A kohen is a kohen, and a kohen is a kohen from birth, and he has certain sanctity. But what I really wanted to focus on is on the redundancy in the pasuk that's almost never found. The Torah says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe." Let's read it again. Emor el ha-kohanim, say to the kohanim, b'nei Aharon, v'yomarta aleim. Again say. Where do we find that in one pasuk? Say, and you should say. Rashi picks up on the redundancy. And let's read Rashi for a second.
It doesn't say it in English, but it says
I'm just reading the text, and Rashi picks up on it. The Rashi right away. Emor v'yomarta, right over here. The first Rashi. What is the reason for the redundancy? Emor v'yomarta, lahazir gedolim al hakatanim. To instruct the gedolim, the adults, the older members of the kahuna, to instruct the children, the younger, the pirchei kahuna, the youth, how that they should conduct themselves in terms of dealing with the kedusha, the purity and the holiness of the Mishkan. There is an important point that he's making, that Rashi is telling us about the pasuk. He's telling us that the older kohanim have an obligation to see to it that the younger kohanim are trained properly. Now, this is a subject of a lot of discussion. The Ramban goes into detail and he explains it means to say they have to be sensitive that when they help in the Beis HaMikdash that they should be very careful that they themselves shouldn't touch something not clean. They shouldn't defile the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gedolim, the older ones, are there to instruct the younger ones. So my Rebbe, Sefer Chideko, Reb Chaim Dov Keller, Shlita, in his explanation of the Ramban, says what the Ramban really essentially is trying to tell us, that there is actually two levels over here that need to be discussed and need to be addressed. Number one, level number one, is the simple halacha of don't defile yourself while you're doing the work in the Mishkan. But level two, it's to know and recognize who you are. You are a Kohen. You are the liaison to the Jewish people. You have to realize that the lips of the Kohen are the teachers to the Jewish people. And when a Kohen is asked about something Tomei or Tohor, if a Nega, if a plague has to be decided whether it's clean or whether it's unclean, the lips of the Kohen will make the reality happen. By him saying the word Tomei, then it becomes Tomei. And if he says Tohor, it becomes Tohor. As he's quoting the words, the lips of the Kohen will guard the law and the Torah, right? And the laws of the Torah, and you shall seek Torah from his lips. So it's not just you have to in teaching the children of the importance of being holy and clean, to raise the level of sanctity, you have to raise their awareness of how special they are. You have to raise the awareness that you are not simple children. You are the Kohanim's children, and you are growing up to be the next leaders, the next Kohanim who are going to be working the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the Torah says the double language, Emor v'yomarta, say and instruct them, and be sure that the Gedolim will do their job in training the Ketanim. So my Rebbe goes ahead and takes it a step further. It does not necessarily only refer to Kohanim's children, even though the Pasuk is literally talking about the Kohanim. But from learning, from the pasuk of Emor ve'amarta, when it's time to train the younger ones, the older ones are being told, do a good job. Teach the Torah to your children. Bring out the greatness of being a Ben Torah. Raise the level of Yiddishkeit. Raise the level, the beauty of Yiddishkeit. We are chosen from all the other people. Look around us. And look how different we are, and how special, and how fortunate we are when we live around a world that is enveloped with immorality, is enveloped with all sorts of violence, and every day you hear somebody killed or somebody robbed or somebody is doing some kind of violence in the world that we live in. It's unbelievable. It's not enough for us to say that, you know what, we're great Jews, you know, we don't kill, we don't steal, and we didn't shoot people. Is that the honor that we're walking around with? Is that the beauty that we're looking for? Is that the accolades that we are striving for? We are much greater than that. We have so much more to strive. We have so much more. We're looking forward. We have a beautiful Olam Hazeh. When you follow the Torah properly, our world in this world is a meaningful, substantial, wholesome life in this world. How much more so is preparation for a world of bliss in the world to come. Children have to know that. Children have to hear that. Children have to be educated to know the beauty of being a Yisrael, being a Ben Torah, being a Jew. And therefore, the Emor ve'amarta, says my Rebbe, although it speaks about the Kohanim, the Gedolim are supposed to instruct the Ketanim, the younger ones. But it's referring to all Jews. The older ones, the adults, have to be involved with the younger ones to be able to instruct them and to be able to guide them. The Pirkei Avos, I brought some Sidurim. Please open up. We're going to just scan a few brises. And the Pirkei Avos is Perek Shishi.
Page.
We're going to start with page 580. Okay. Page 580. All right. This is actually, believe it or not, these are not called Mishnayos. These are called brises. They were taught as a Mishnah, but they were really brises. These are sections of like pieces of Gemara, and they are taught as a Mishnah. And we're going to go scan and read a few lines in several Mishnahs to bring out the beauty and the sanctity of the Torah, that we should be proud of what we're doing. Let's start the first Mishnah, Aleph, Rebbe Meir Omer, on page 3, 580. Rebbe Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir said, "Kol ha'osik b'Torah l'shma zorcha l'dvarim harbe."
Here, this is not the same one.
Yeah. Okay, it's okay. It doesn't matter. I'll find it quickly.
It's okay. I'm sharing.
What does it mean, zorcha l'dvarim harbe? A person is osik b'Torah. You make a bracha every morning. Lasok b'divrei Torah. Do you know what you really say? You're saying this whole brisa that talks all about the greatness of learning Torah Lishma. Zochel Vam Harbe means you are privileged to very many, many great things, powerful things, things that can change nature. You will have you have atomic energy in your hand without realizing it. Learning Torah, being osek b'Torah, being occupied with Torah, is nuclear energy. This is what it is. But I don't want to go through all of the Mishnah. We're going to go one or two lines. It's just to get a gist of it. But on your own, you see what's in front of you. It's so important you're learning that the whole world is was created for your sake. It's worthwhile for you. Nikra, you are called a reya, a friend, ohu, a loved one. Oyeves hamokam, oyeves habriyah, the one who loves Hashem and loves people. You are misameach es hamokam. You make Hashem rejoice with you. Misameach es habriyah, so you make people happy. You learn Torah, you make a difference. Let's move on to another Mishnah. Let's turn the page to another Mishnah, another Braisa. Let's try. Mishnah Vav. Let's try Vav.
Where are we?
Vav on 582. Next page. Yedola Sora. Torah is great. Yosef min HaKuna u'min HaMalchus. Greater than being a Kohen and greater than being a king. Than kingship. Sha'amalchus nichtas b'shtay shemailas. Kingship, royalty, can be acquired with 30 attributes. V'HaKuhuna nichtas b'estra v'arba. Kuhuna is acquired with 24 attributes. V'haTorah nichnas ba'arba u'shmoina devarim. Torah is acquired with 48 attributes. Now, you know where you find the 48 attributes? If you sit and learn in a Beis HaMedrash, then you are connected to the different energies that are existing in the Beis HaMedrash. Now, 48 is a lot of attributes. We don't all have them all in one body. But when you're learning in the Beis HaMedrash and there are so many different Talmidim and everybody has one or two or three of the different attributes and you're in the environment, you're breathing the same air of a Beis HaMedrash learning Torah with this excitement and this exuberance and this energy that's floating around everywhere and you're breathing it, you get part of that Memches, that 48 parts of Torah. Torah attributes.
And who's saying all this? I mean, how it's shown in the Gemara. Somewhere.
Well, this is all part of just. I am just paraphrasing, and I'm just explaining it out. But I'm just trying to show you where Rabbi Keller was trying to explain. You want to instruct the child to do mitzvahs properly and be careful not to do averus, but bring him up, raise him on a pedestal. See how special you are. You're so special. Look how many mitzvahs you've done. Let's try a little bit more. I am trying to instruct the children to go ahead and make loud brachas so we can answer amen. And we have a chart. If we fill 100 checks, we give them a freezy. By the way, tomorrow I owe a class a freezy for the 100 checks that they got. We're moving on. We're starting the 100 all over again. Kids are excited. They want to answer amen. They want to do it. It's all part of making them feel excited. Let's go to page 584. Mishnah Zayin. Next page. Gedola Sora Shino Senes Chaim Yoseha. Torah is so great that it gives life for those who observe it, those who perform it. Ba'olam hazeh, u'ba'olam haba, in both worlds. Let's go to another Mishnah.
So their lands were conquered.
Let's go to Mishnah Tess on the very bottom. And Mishnah Tess, Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Pamachas, once, Hayisi Mehalech Baderech, I was once walking on the road. Ufaga bi Adam Echad, I have met one person. V'nasan li Shalom, and he gave me Shalom. He gave me Shalom Aleichem. V'hechazarti lo Shalom, and I said back to him Shalom. Amali, he said to me, Rabbi, Me'ezer Mokam Ata, where are you from? He's talking to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Where are you from? Amarti lo, Me'ir Gedola Shel Chachamim, V'shal Seifim Ani. I am from a city of wise men and scribes. Amali, turn the page, please. He said, Rabbi, Ritzon Kishatodi Imodim Chaimenu, would you like to live with us? I'll give you a fortune. You'll be the wealthiest man on earth. I said back to him. If you give me all the gold and silver, all the gems in the world, I will not live only in a place that there is Torah. And that's how he responded to him. I don't want to live anywhere but where there is an environment of Torah. He couldn't attract him to come to be the rabbi in his town or his city because it was not a Mokum Torah. The environment of a person is so special. And therefore, we can't lose sight of that
right,
important
yeah,
act.
No sense of
at any rate, I read some excerpts.
I just want to show you
how our Chachamim regard the beauty of Torah, and this is how we have to raise this in the eyes of our children and make them feel special about it. And in the process, we raise it in our own lives. When we talk about the greatness of Torah and its reward in this world and the world to come.
The Aaron lifted up with all the Kohanim and it flew over.
I would like to make an observation.
On the east side. On the west side, excuse me.
Parsha starts talking about Kohanim.
So the Kohanim standing in the
and talks about the animals that have to be pure and that the Kohanim should not be...
And the whole nation saw that happen.
In serving Hashem like they shouldn't have blemishes. That's inappropriate if a Kohen starts to do what's a vote and he's on crutches. No, you can't. You have to present yourself with respect. And it talks all about this, and it finally mentions if we talk. We turn to Perek Chav Beis and we read a few psukim over there how we conclude this section. Let's turn to Perek Chav Beis. It's let's see. It's on 680. We conclude this particular part that deals with the sanctity of a kohen. It says, "Ushmarzem mitzvosai, you shall guard my mitzvos, vaisisim my son, and you shall do them ani Hashem. Velo sachalalu Hashem kodshi, and do not defile my name. V'nivdashti b'serach v'nei Yisrael. Turn the page, please, and you shall sanctify my name among the Jewish people. Ani Hashem mekadishchem." I am Hashem who have made you holy. Hamotzi eschem meyeretz Mitzrayim miyos lachem lelakim ani Hashem, who took you out of the land of Egypt to be for you for a God. And that's how he concludes this. To remind you, I took you out of Egypt. I took you out to be holy. This is your agenda. Don't forget that. And then right after that starts the next perek or so that deals with all of the Yomim Tovim. The Yomim Tovim, which fall into the category of the Yomim Tovim that we are familiar with Pesach, Sfiras HaOmer, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, the year involving Yom Tovim. The tefillah we say during the Yom Tovim are so apropos to what we're saying. Because if you remember, in our davening, in our Yom Tov davening, and I'll just bring to your attention, which you've said it many, many times, is the tefillah of Ator V'Chatan. If you can turn onto 662, Ator V'Chatan. In out of the Chartanu, we mention in our tefillah a very, very special tefillah. Atovah Chartanu Mikol Ha'amim. You have it?
662.
Okay, one second.
If you have a Sephardi.
Hold on a second. Here it is. I'll give you a different one. Here. So it doesn't matter. I'll give you this. Look at this.
It doesn't matter.
It's the same one. Atovah Chartanu, you have chosen us from all the people. Ahavtai Sanu, you loved us. V'ratzisa Banu, and you have found favor in us. V'ray Mamtanu Mikol HaLashonos, and you have raised us from all languages, all Lashonos. V'kidashtanu B'mitzvaysecha, and you have sanctified us with your mitzvahs. You brought us, our King, you have brought us close to your service. In your holy name, you have called your holy name upon us. We say this throughout all of the holidays. The Atav Chartanu. It's in all the davening. It brings us, the Atav Chartanu brings us to a special peak. That we are special. We are special. We say it during the holidays. We are special. Our tongues are special. Our actions are special. Our mitzvahs and our thoughts are special. This is what we say throughout the holidays, and if we can communicate this message to young children, then it shows that we're special. We are not just another nation. We are special. Now, the reason why I'm stressing this right now is because at the end of the parsha is the incident where someone used his mouth to curse Hashem. And this story is at the end of the parasha. So I'll tell you where to find it. It's on page 6. It's the end of 690 on the bottom to 692. The last word on 690 is where this begins. Vayetze, that's in the page, Ben Isha Yisraelis, Behu Ben Ish Mitzri. And the Ish, a son of an Ish Yisraelis, who was the son of a Mitzri, was Besarch B'nei Yisrael, Vayinotsu B'machane, and he fought in the camp with a Ben HaYisraelis, with another Jewish person, the Ish HaYisraeli, and he was a Jew. The argument was over here, according to the explanation of Rashi, that there was a document that he was really the child that was the product of being the woman was raped. The woman is in the parsha mentioned over here. I'm trying to try.
18 hour. So for a normal person, it'd be an 18 hour.
The name of the woman is Shlomis Bas Divri. Shlomis Bas Divri in Egypt. If you remember, there was a story where Moshe killed the Mitzri who looked like he was going to kill a Hebrew slave. What happened was that this Mitzri wanted to be with his wife. And he lived with his wife. And she didn't see him because everything was dark. So she wasn't able to tell it was her husband. And then the Mitzri sensed that the husband was very upset that he raped his wife. So in order to cover up, he tried to whip him to death. And Moshe saw that and mentioned Hashem's name and killed him. That's the story. But in the meantime, she became pregnant, and this child was born from that pregnancy. Now, this child really wasn't a child who had a real place. Her father is in the camp of the Jewish people. He wasn't any part of any one of the Shvatim because his father was a goy. So he parked himself in Shevet Dan and asked, "What are you doing here?" So he said, "Well, this is my mother and I'm living here." He said, "But your father is not Jewish. You can't be here."
At any considered Jewish.
That's only after Matan Torah. Well, Matan Torah, true. But even though this was right, Matan Torah, but at the time it was a goy when it was before Matan Torah. That was before Matan Torah. But now let's get to the story. So they brought him to Beis Din, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Shevet Dan is right. You can't be here." I'm not sure what the alternative was, but he said, "You really can't be here." After hearing that, he opened up his mouth and he cursed Hashem. This is what happened.
They should have found a place for him.
I'm telling you this story. I'm not going to go into details. This is not. We're not going to rewrite the history, and I'm not going to discuss the details. That's a question that has merit, but I'm not dealing with it now. Now, Rashi makes a very important statement. I have to share that with you. If you look at Rashi, the Rashi says, "V'yetzei ben ish Yisrael." Ben Ish Yisraelis, a son of a Jewish woman. Look at what Rashi says.
Where are we?
They were at. This is on 692. Okay. They did this blessing to the curse. Rashi in 692, right in the very beginning, says he went out. Where did he go out from? Right? Mehechen Yatzah. Rabbi Levi Omer, May Oilomo Yatzah. He went out of his world. What does that mean, out of his world? That means his Jewish world, his Torah world, the world of a Ben Yisrael. By speaking and uttering curses against Hashem, he went out of his world.
What words did he use?
He used God's name in a way that was
something that would normally be basically the idea we're trying to get
the exact word I can't tell you, I don't know. But it was a derogatory statement using God's name, and it was regarded as a curse, and it was done intentionally, and then he ended up getting himself into a lot of trouble. Now, what I want to stress over here is everybody has his own world to live in, and you could lose your world, and you can lose your world by misusing your speech. And we know that from the laws of Lashon Hara. You know, Mavis V'chayim B'yad HaLashon, death and life is in the hands of the tongue. We know that people can get into lots of trouble with their mouths. And the Torah is telling us he went out of his world. The world where he should have been in, he went out of. And he got him into a lot of trouble. Now, this was an extreme example where he cursed Hashem. And remember, it was at a time when the Jewish people were at a height of their Kedusha. This is right after Kabbalah Satorah, right a few months afterwards. And he expressed his anger by cursing Hashem. And therefore, he got himself into a lot of trouble.
Right? I mean, those are little glimpses of
it's interesting to note, though, the that the holiday season, which we mentioned before, was all about Asher Roim Amtonim Mekor HaShoinais, that we are different than the Goyim. Hashem raised us from all the people, from all the languages around us. And he did not get the message. He was not careful. And we have to realize how important it is for us to be careful in how we say and what we do. The parsha starts off with educating children. That adults have to be cognizant of the fact that they have to educate the children, let them know the halacha, but to raise Yiddishkeit in the eyes of the child. We have to educate ourselves to become aware and how lucky we are to serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu and that we have a Torah. We have to also be aware how important it is that we use our language for the purpose of honoring Hashem and His Torah. The parsha begins of educating the young, and it ends off with educating ourselves.
One explanation is
we have to be careful that we should be always privileged to be in our world of Torah and not, God forbid, to lose it by being careless and misuse our speech. We should have a wonderful week full of Hatzlacha. I'm fortunate to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim from Kiddush Hashem wherever we go. Have a wonderful week.
Amen.